and Brock.
Wow.
You need an army.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
There is one main question.
Why are you guys on the Canucks?
But also, how can the Canucks win the Stanley Cup?
Go off, young king.
What? Record levels almost of house positivity. What?
Go off.
Yeah.
What?
All right, you guys, I got 8 crates of Epicac from Mort, all on my tab. Now, whoever goes the longest without puking gets the last piece of pie in the fridge.
Don't confuse fitness testing with a bag skate.
Okay, here we go.
Yesterday, what the players did was they did their physicals. They went through some testing to see where they're at. I haven't heard anything negative about Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
How's everybody doing?
Good. Good so far.
All right.
Nothing yet.
Cool.
Did OEL struggle today at the back skate? Yes, he did. Does it mean he's going to suck this season? Maybe he does suck. We'll find out. But we're not going to know about a back skate. Like, a back skate is not going to tell you whether OEL is going to suck this year or not.
You know, I don't know if you guys had any of that pie already, but that is some tasty stuff. That's from the bake sale that Lois was...
Ooh, one down. I know somebody who won't be having any...
Noah's going to tell us whether he's going to suck this year or not when we see him play actual game. And even the preseason... And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say this. I got 7 freaking preseason games to do. None of them matter. None of them matter.
I'm starting to feel funny.
Well, I feel fine. I guess I'm going to...
Oh, boy. That means I win.
Here are your hosts, Mike Alford and Jason Brough.
Good morning, Vancouver. 6:02 on a Friday. Apologies for those driving in that had to be sitting through that. It's Halford, it is Brough, it is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Nephew Dom, how are you now?
I feel funny.
It was a little jarring, although your overriding sentiment was on point.
I remember that Family Guy. That was the one that Connor Garland was on.
He is from Massachusetts. It's a fit.
That's true.
Yeah. The Northeast of the United States. It was, God bless training camp. Thank God training camp is here. This is what we were missing in our lives, is overreacting to what happens at training camp and then overreacting to the overreactions, thereby underreacting.
And then don't forget the hot take that it's not an overreaction.
But then...
And that all the overreacting is actually underreacting... And letting the team off the hook.
It's true. Then all of a sudden you're straddling the line and becoming house radio. It's been a fascinating 24 hours, folks. And guess what? There's a whole nother day of training camp on the horizon. Before we get to that.
I love that, though. Like that. How many times have we gone through this in Canucksville? And especially in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Or not even especially in training camp. Like something happens. People notice, the question comes out, is it a big deal? And then we debate whether it's a big deal, as opposed to just making the observation and having fun with it.
Yep. That's what we do. It's Overreaction Friday, Overreaction Training Camp. And we get to talk about it all day. 3 hours of this, people. 3 hours. Before we get to any of this, though, we need to tell you about two very fine companies. The first, Dilawri Family of Acura Dealers. They are the presenting sponsors of the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Experience the Dilawri difference today. Visit your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. The second of these two companies is Intercity. Shopintercity.ca. shopintercity.ca. Steakhouse quality meals delivered to your doorstep.
I'm making a steak tonight. Nice. I'm making a steak tonight as a celebration of a great sports weekend.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
The Lions game is on tonight against those Riders. It's the biggest Lions game in a while.
Yes.
It is. I mean,
no,
it's a big game.
Is.
It's a big game for the Lions.
Yeah, 3-game win streak.
I'm going to spend most of the day watching the Ryder Cup. Then I've got a late hockey game. And then I wake up on the weekend. And it's just going to be sports, and eating steak.
You mentioned the Ryder Cup, which is currently underway. We've got it on glorious standard def here in the high-tech Sportsnet 650 studios. We are watching away. It is also, the Ryder Cup, that is, the subject of our Regal Grooming Lounge poll question. The Loon. Jason, do you have it there?
Who are you cheering for in the Ryder Cup? Team USA, Team Europe... Or this is
Can you put on the Canucks game?
Dom added a third option. of put on the Canucks game, which I guess serves two purposes here because, number one, a lot of people don't care about golf. And number two, the Canucks game on Sunday against the Kraken is not on TV.
However, you can listen to it on the radio. Where, you might ask? Right here. You're home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Brandon Batchelor on the call on Sunday night. So technically...
So he's got to go down to Spokane, or is he using binoculars?
The binocs. I believe him and Sakaris looking for Eagles and Canucks games together. I believe he is making the trek down. I was talking to a couple people on the broadcast side last night, and that is the plan for now. So Batch will be there in Spokane calling the game live for you. So you could listen to the Canucks game. And then watch whatever else you wanted on the television. You could do two things at once.
Batch used to do Giants games, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so he probably knows that arena that they're going to pretty...
I would imagine.
He'll tell a bunch of stories like, I used to watch Chiefs games here.
What are the results of said poll questions? Sorry, because I missed that part.
Most people are saying put on the Canucks game.
All right.
But also between Team USA and Team Europe, obviously we're in Canada. It's about a 4-1 in favor of Team Europe.
That is the daily poll question brought to you by Regal Grooming Lounge, a 5-star level barbershop experience. To experience it, visit regalgrooming.ca or go down to 415 Hornby Street in Vancouver. Okay, all the business out of the way. We need to tell you what's happening on the program today. At 6:30, Matt Verderam, who is our NFL insider from FanSided, he's their national writer, will look briefly back at what happened last night on Thursday Night Football, and then look ahead to a lot of big games on the horizon. Of course, Seattle Seahawks have a big one going into Minnesota. The Rams and the Bucks. That is obviously the game of the week. Right now, I would say this is jockeying for who the best team in the NFC is.
Yeah. Oh, easily. Yeah. Easily. Yeah.
So we'll talk to Matt about all that.
Is there a third option that you can come up with besides those two teams right now?
No, they're it. If the Seahawks had finished what was a mostly winnable game with the percentages, the Seahawks would have been in that conversation, but they don't get to be there because they lost to the Titans in overtime. So we'll talk to Matt about all that at 6:30. We'll also try and get some help with our picks, me specifically. I am...
You're 0-2, eh?
I'm 0-2 on my lock of the week.
You're off to the Jason Brough start.
It's not good. Are you 1-1 or 2-0?
I'm 2-0.
You're a perfect 2-0.
You guys, you come to the show every day and you just suck.
It's true.
Yeah.
This week's pick is so uninspired, as I tease our NFL Lock of the Week segment later in the show. My pick is so uninspired. It's designed only to get a win.
You're just looking for value?
There's not even value.
For
I don't
certainty.
Think. Just certainty, yeah. What's the most...
Where are you going to find certainty, though?
Nowhere in the gambling world, as I've learned through 2 weeks of making our picks.
Well, is there an obvious pick every week that Vegas just gives away money on?
The money line against the Jets. There's your certainty.
Yeah, right, that's it. Folks, let me tell you, I got a feeling here. No, I'm going to take something where I feel like there's a pretty good shot that it's going to come through. Normally, what we try to do is pick the in and around the intriguing games.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make it unintriguing, less intriguing. That's good radio.
You're a sad guy.
I just don't want to go 0-3.
You should embrace it. Like
I got hives, the possibility of going 0-3.
Okay.
I don't want to do it. My men's league soccer team is 0-2. And we have a game this weekend. I've already declared it a must win on the team chat. That's how serious we take this business.
Are they playing the Jets?
Yeah. And I bet against the other team. It was the smartest move I could have made. Okay, Matt Verderam at 6:30. We'll talk all things NFL. Try and get some help with our picks. Speaking of the NFL, 7 o'clock, Brady Henderson, ESPN, NFL Nation, Seahawks insider. He has a piece up. And I didn't realize this was a thing because I guess I wasn't watching close enough. But some people have pointed this out in the Dunbar Lumber text line throughout the week. DK Metcalf is off a little bit. Some people have said he either looks like he's distracted or he's paying too much attention to what people or the other team are saying about him. And Brady actually, I guess one of the reporters, and maybe it was Brady himself, asked Metcalf about this. And he said, yeah, I'm actually going to try and tone down, tune out the trash talk and the smack talk to focus on, you know, catching footballs and winning football games.
It hasn't been that bad, though. Like, he's got 113 yards receiving in two games.
I'm just passing this along.
No, I know. I've heard Seahawks fans say that, and definitely he hasn't been as prolific as he was last season, but that's because Tyler Lockett has been so prolific. Like DK Metcalf, I know it's a story, and I appreciate that. Like I saw a bunch of it on social media too.
Yeah.
But for me, the story is like, can this defense bounce back as well?
So we'll talk to Brady Henderson, ESPN NFL Nation Seahawks insider, about all that at 7 o'clock, 7:30 or 8 o'clock. We have kind of a floating clock. I said clock in the second hour and third hour of the program. We are going to have iMac on ahead of day two of Canucks training camp. Ian McIntyre, Sportsnet's very own. We're also apparently going to have a Canuck on the program today. Dom wants to say something.
I've been told we will know whether or not we have a Canuck at 7 o'clock today.
This is an amazing, drawn-out
set
of circumstances here. Our former boss, C-Mac, is in charge of it, so I'm sure it'll go great.
I thought being at the rights holder, you kind of got Canucks guests.
And then our former boss went and worked for the Canucks.
I don't know if you guys know this, but we work at an early hour, and athletes don't tend to like to have their sleep interrupted.
Come on. We could have pre-taped something yesterday, as I let everyone look behind the curtain here. There's a number of ways we could have gotten around this mythical 7 a.m. wake-up, which nobody can pull off, except professional athletes.
Fine, whatever. You know what? I don't even want a Canuck.
It's true.
I don't even want a Canuck.
We could do just as good of a job.
Yeah.
It's true.
Probably just throw up all over the place anyway.
Right. I'm going to pass out halfway through the show.
I don't
like
feel
I
good.
Normally do. Okay, so regardless, iMac will definitely be joining the show. It'll either be at 7:30 or 8, depending on what the Canucks decide to do with their busy morning.
7:30, locked in, iMac.
iMac, yeah, locked in, yeah. 7:30. So there's your show, iMac 7:30, Brady Henderson at 7, Matt Verderam at 6:30. Lots of NFL, lots of Canucks talk, lots of Ryder Cup talk, but we are going to get into what happened now. We're going to start with day one of Canucks training camp. Dom, take it away.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No.
What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it?
You missed that?
What happened?
As I said, to kick off the show, God, I love training camp. God bless you, bag skate, or the 40s skate. And that's the insider term for it, as outlined by Thomas Drance in The Athletic and Harmon Dial. They had their big
piece. Is that because you drink a 40 before you do it?
Or you throw out 40 ounces, or you puke 40 ounces of liquid. I'm not sure exactly which one. But this is a rite of passage now for the Vancouver Canucks. And in recent years, the media, day one of training camp. Everyone knows it's coming. Travis Green's infamous bag skate. In the big picture, the grand context of it all, this is the blippiest of blips on the radar. It's something that you do at the beginning of camp, you get it over with, and by Sunday, we will have forgotten all about it. But guess what, folks? It ain't Sunday. Yesterday was Thursday. Today is Friday. This provided fodder, or manna, if you will, for all of us, because I found it very amusing and very entertaining. It's the equivalent of pushing some of the finest athletes on the planet to the limit, and then seeing which ones are going to be left standing and which ones aren't. It's very primal in that regard. That's all it's designed for, is to see who you can break and who can buckle. And behold.
So you don't think that the fact that Will Lockwood was in front of everyone and had very impressive performance, you don't think that could have any bearing on whether or not he gets a roster spot? Like, maybe?
Well, I think his play on the ice will probably dictate it a heck of a lot more.
Well, of course.
Well, do you think at the end of training camp, they're going to be like, well, he's right on the bubble. Remember when he had the bag skate? I don't know if it goes like that. I really doubt that it does.
Okay.
I think he got off to a good start.
Okay, yeah. But isn't that the whole idea of training camp, to come in and impress your coaches?
Yes, and especially this training camp.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about ad nauseum how important everything is leading up to this very important season.
Travis Green said it himself. He said the reason he does the bag skate and why it's an interesting exercise is that it shows to him who did work in the off season, who put the work in the off season, and then everyone is like, it doesn't matter. I'm like, well, why does the coach do it every year? Why does the coach say like this is something that I do to tell me, to give me a little bit of a heads up on who came to camp in shape?
Yeah.
Well, Will Lockwood is going to be fighting for one of those spots on the fourth line in the bottom six. He's a dark horse candidate to make the team. But he has an opportunity now with Tyler Mott expected to miss the beginning of the season. We've talked a lot about Will Lockwood ahead of this training camp and said this guy has something that the Canucks need, and that's that speed in the bottom six and the ability to get in on the forecheck. And all he did yesterday was just show that, like, fitness will not be an issue with him.
No, I know. I know what you're saying. I think the funny part is like, this matters to someone like Will Lockwood. It doesn't matter to a guy that's going to be on the team or a guy that is a superstar player. These kind of things matters to the guys that are out there trying to earn jobs, without question, right? You know, you have audio here, Dom, or did you just want to jump in?
Yeah, I found OEL live on the ice after the bag scan.
It's just beer.
Oh, give me a break.
It's just beer.
Oh, fucking man up. All right, what happened? What'd you lose him?
He's a freak. He's a fast killer. He's a fast killer.
So I know there are three guys.
Three guys
who kind of struggled through the back skate. I'm going to excuse two of them.
Okay.
Connor Garland, who by all accounts, did he keep up in the bag skate and puked?
Yeah, and he said it, he kind of alluded that he had a
big breakfast.
Too much Alfredo. He also said that he's got a particular stride that I guess makes these drills even more taxing.
No, what? He says he's a short, stocky guy, so he has to take. No, he was talking about his stride. No.
Yeah.
That's not an excuse.
I'm not saying it was an excuse.
As long as he kept up in the actual bag skate. Believe it or not,
He kept
up fine. Good.
Okay. He wasn't leading it by any stretch.
He's not an issue.
And then he puked, which is admirable, actually. Okay. Puking is good.
Let's move on to the next guy. OEL. OEL. Mm-hmm. Struggled in the bag skate.
Yeah.
Because I'm feeling in a good mood and because OEL has enough pressure on him and I'll probably, maybe be hard on him later. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give OEL a pass.
Also, I want to throw out, he's a veteran guy that's making $8 million a year. He doesn't need all due respect. Like, I know he's got a lot at stake to bounce back.
Well, I don't think he has any excuse not to show up in
or maybe
shape.
He's just taking it easy.
Here's the thing. Why I will excuse Garland and OEL. They're new guys. They maybe didn't know about this Travis Green bag skate. The guy I will not let off the hook is Ulevi. And Ulevi, for multiple reasons, looked like let me put it this way.
Jason's like, well, I will not stand Rolly Ulevi.
No, if we're gonna give excuses or like, all right, fine, we'll let you off the hook because we're so nice. But the guy I just, like, I can't let off the hook is Ulevi. Ulevi has been in this organization for a while. He knows about the Travis Green bag skate. And he was so far behind in this bag skate. Yeah. And he's a young man.
You're a young, virile
and
man.
I haven't even gotten to the part where he collapsed along the boards in an NHL training camp.
That's pretty funny.
I've talked to, I was talking to my buddies who we used to coach Pee Wee with, and we were laughing. Like, we weren't taking it seriously. We were like, remember when we would yell at kids, like, get off the ice. Don't be lying along the boards. Don't be, like, collapsed on the ice. It's not a good look. These kids were 11. Mm-hmm. Ole Ulevi collapsed on the ice multiple times after lagging behind in the bag skate badly, and he had his own teammates. So if you think I'm like, oh, you're out of line saying this, he had his own teammates coming up to him and saying, get up. Mm-hmm. This is a bad look.
Yeah.
There's cameras taking video of you. Like, I guess all the cameras in the arena were like repositioning themselves.
Yeah. We're going to need to get this. One of them is dead.
I mean, and here's a guy. When we talked about Will Lockwood, like, good first impression isn't going to be the thing that makes sure he makes the team. Of course it's not. He's going to have to play good hockey too. But Ole Ulevi, what did Travis Green say heading into this camp? That there's a battle for that third spot on the left side with Rathbone and Brad Hunt and Ole Ulevi. So, like, do you for all the people that saying it's not a big deal and this is classic Vancouver media, do you think Travis Green was looking at Ole Ulevi and going, there's a guy I want to go into battle with?
Yeah, you want him in the trenches because he'll lie down in them.
Yeah, he looked like he was covering a grenade for sure.
Okay, I get what you're saying. The key to all of this is to not make it anything more than getting off to a bad start and doing something you should have done in the bags game. Because there is a certain sense of this where it's like in 2 or 3 days, everyone will forget about this. And that's true. But the other part of it is that it was not good. Plain and simple. It could have been good. The results could have been better. But they weren't. And I will say this about Travis Green and his coaching philosophy and his approach. Now, some of this is lip service and some of this is for the camera. But yesterday, the Canucks posted a 3.5, 4-minute video of Travis Green addressing every single training camp participant in some sort of like makeshift suite or banquet room at the arena. And in it, he said all the things that we've talked about. They want to build an identity around teams that are going to compete and work harder than the opposition and play faster than the opposition. There's a certain brand and style that they are looking for. And over the years, they've weeded out the guys that can't do that. I would say two of the more prominent ones were Nikolai Goldobin and Jake Virtanen. They were never difficult to play against. They never worked harder than anybody else. At least that was the visual that they gave. And Green likes that. He really does. So if you're listening to the coach, you're going to say, well, have I done the work prior to today to have me ready to go out and execute what the coach wants me to do? And in that regard, what you said about Lockwood matters because he went out and faced with the challenge, didn't necessarily rise to it. He had already prepared for it. He was ready to go.
He'd already done the bag skate by himself.
Yes,
he said he knew about this.
Right.
So we worked on it. Just like the Sedins used to show up and they knew that with Torts, there was a run. Mm-hmm. So they were like, prepared for the run. And they knocked it out of the park.
Right.
I always like it. It's funny because people always say, like, why are you guys, when Virtanen was here, for example, why do you guys always pick on Jake? And we'd be like, because everyone else didn't make it a story.
Yeah.
Everyone else showed up. Mm-hmm. There's never a story that Bo Horvat walks by a hot dog stand and gains 5 pounds, right? Like, it just never happens with him. He shows up and he does his job. Other guys don't. And getting back to Ulevi, here's a guy that should be thinking, like, boy, my NHL career is hanging on by a thread. Mm-hmm. I'd better come to camp ready to roll. What he did was come to camp, lag everyone in the bag skate, and then collapse in the corner right. Like a novice hockey player.
Right. I wonder if he thought that was showing that he was giving it his all. He went all
no
out.
No way. It couldn't have. He couldn't have.
Because, you know.
He didn't go all out. He
But he could have gone all out for what he was dealing with at the time. He's like, this is all I got. I'm emptying the tank.
If he emptied the tank, he has a very small tank.
And that is a possibility. It's also a possibility. Okay, it's 6:23. We spent, I don't know, 20 minutes talking about a bag skate. We didn't really get to anything else in terms of day ones. Now, I have the lines and sort of the day one reflections in the notes, but to be real, there's so many guys missing from camp that it's hard to say if this means anything or what we can kind of glean.
That doesn't matter!
But it might. We will look at that later on in the show. We've got iMac coming up at 7:30. We've hopefully got a Canucks guest coming on at 8. We'll save lots of time to jump back into the rest of the stories from day one at training camp. We've got a lot of text messages in to the Dunbar Lumber text line. Not surprising, given all the content we have to chew on now, Canucks related. I will add, if you're texting into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650 right now, consider throwing an Ask Us Anything or What We Learned our way. We're going to do both of those. Ask us anything throughout the show. And the premise, of course, is you can ask us anything. It doesn't have to be about the Canucks. It doesn't even have to be about sports. Life, love, food, Dom's keto regimen, anything you want to ask about, we will answer. It's Ask Us Anything Friday, so get those in. 650, 650. It's the Dunbar Lumber text line. Coming up next on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650, you have a smirk.
Someone just texted in and said, you guys couldn't handle the bag skate yourselves, so why are you pooping on a professional hockey player?
He also called it the back skate. I could probably
pass out. Because he's a professional hockey player.
I could also pass out after a bag skate. If you asked me to, I could do it 100%. I could do it until I collapsed at the end and do it poorly and collapse at the end.
I love that, though. It's like, you couldn't do that. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
You got it 100% correct. I could not do it. Coming up on the Halpern and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650, we're going to go to the NFL. We're going to try and get some help for our NFL picks, which are also coming up later today. Matt Verderam, national NFL writer for Fansided, is going to join us. We'll look at the Seahawks game. We'll look at this entire slate, and we'll look at that big NFC clash between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday night. It's Halford, it's Profit, Sportsnet, 650.
Let me hear you say, yeah!
Uh-oh. Three tight ends, one fullback in the personnel grouping. Darnold, ready for the snap. Quarterback sneak, being pushed from behind. No signal yet. Touchdown, Carolina Panthers.
6:31 on a Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Halford, Brough, Sportsnet, 650. That audio you heard from yesterday, Carolina Panthers moving to a perfect 3-0, the first time that they've had a 3-0 start since, I believe, 2015, when the team got off to a 14-0 start under then-MVP Cam Newton and went to the Super Bowl. All due respect to Sam Darnold and this year's version of the Panthers, I don't think that's the same.
I like Sam Darnold, though.
I like that team. But when we were talking, we had really, it was a two-team race for best in the NFC. We said it was the Los Angeles Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who play this Sunday afternoon. I was mistaken. It's not the Sunday Nighters. Sunday afternoon. That's on me. We'll talk to Matt Verderam from Fansided in a second about that. Before we do, need to tell you about the fine folks at the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Get you into a TLX, MDX, RDX, ILX. Can't forget the ILX. We also need to tell you a little bit about Intercity. Shop intercity.ca is the website. shopintercity.ca. Steakhouse quality meals delivered to your doorstep. Use promo code SPORTSNET20 at checkout. Get $20 off your first order. Okay, business out of the way. Let's go to the phone lines. Joining us now on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650, national NFL reporter for Fansided, Matt Verderam, now on the program. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good, how are you?
We're good, thanks. And thanks for taking the time to do this. We want to start with that Sunday afternoon game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Los Angeles Rams. Both teams go in perfect 2-0. We said that this is probably a punching match to decide who is the top-ranked team in the NFC. I suppose maybe we're missing the 3-0 Carolina Panthers, though I don't think that they're there. Who do you like in this game? I know your picks came out the other day, but this is a big clash of two of the teams that might be in the NFC Championship at the end of the year.
Yeah, I took Los Angeles. I think it's a really interesting matchup. But right now, they are the two best teams in the NFC. Although, I would say, look, it's so early. You know, Green Bay is going to be there. I think Seattle is going to be there. You know, Dallas's offense is at least going to be interesting. I don't think Dallas is as good as those teams. If you catch them on the wrong day, they can hang 40 on you. I think right now, the one thing that concerns me a little with Tampa, and I believe they'll figure it out, is their passing defense has not been good. They have gotten torched both weeks. And, you know, look, it's one thing to get torched by Dallas. It's starting to get torched by Atlanta. So I think Stafford's going to have a pretty big day here. Also, Antonio Brown might not play. He's tested positive for COVID. So I think that hurts because the Rams, look, they can match up with you on the outside. They are one of the few teams in the league that they've got corners. They are not afraid to stick guys on islands and say, go ahead, beat us. So I think it certainly could go either way. But the Rams are at home. You know, the Bucs aren't going to win every game they play this year. I think the Rams win a tight game.
Is there anybody that we're missing from this, you know, power ranking of the top of the NFC? Jason and I looked at it in the preseason from a Seahawks perspective and said, well, Tampa Bay is going to be there. The Rams are going to be there. But then we were like, we got to wait and see what these other teams are going to look like. I suppose you have to make some kind of argument for Arizona only because they're 2-0 and Kyler Murray looks like he's really putting a season together. We mentioned Carolina. 3-0 is 3-0. They're the only team there right now. And I guess maybe the 49ers, although despite the 2-0 start, they did win two road games. I'm not really sure what we've got there. Are we missing anybody when we're talking about contenders in the NFC?
Well, I don't think I look at Arizona. Arizona is kind of a laser show. They're exciting. They're fun. I don't know that they're going to compete to win a Super Bowl. I just I don't think they're there yet. You know, let's be honest. Minnesota should have beat them. Minnesota kicked a field goal. They would have beat them.
Right.
I think the Packers are still right there. And, you know, they get blown out week one, and everybody immediately moves off of it. They're going to be fine. That team has Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, you know, litany of good offensive flyers. Their front seven scares me defensively, but that's been the case in Green Bay for a decade. The team is going to win its 12, 13 games. It's going to be in the mix. And if Rodgers is healthy in January, nobody is going to want to play them. So I still see them as a team that you can't just go to bet on. They're too talented. They've arguably the best quarterback in football. Like, when that team's right, they're still dangerous. And they're going to win that division easily because the division's terrible. Mm.
What do you think about this Seahawks-Vikings matchup? I know nationwide it might not get a lot of attention, but for Seahawks fans, they're looking at this game after that loss to the Titans and going, if they lose this game to Minnesota, then they're 1-2, and their next two opponents at San Francisco, then home to the Rams, and then all of a sudden you're going, ooh, what could their record be after 5 weeks?
And they're also going into Minnesota playing a Minnesota team that's 0-2, pretty desperate to get a win, and Minnesota's going to be at home.
It's a fascinating game. It's one of the games I was making the picks I looked at and thought about for a second. So, yeah, that's actually really interesting because normally, you know, you're 1-1. Certainly you'd like to get a win, but I don't know that I'd call it a desperate situation. I think it kind of is for Seattle because that division is so good that if you fall back to 1-2, you're going to have a hard time climbing out of it. Because
yeah.
Somebody, if not a multitude of teams, are going to be 3-0 after this weekend. So if you're Seattle, you really can't lose the game. I'm not saying they couldn't come back, but it certainly put them in a spot. I really do feel like for Seattle, this is a game where you got to go up to Minnesota and you have to handle it. Look, the Vikings, on paper, have a lot of talent. They have all throws on all three levels of their defense. Thielen and Jefferson. Osborne's even been good for them so far this year. They've got Cook. But they never put it together. There's always something with them. Either they throw the ball over, they don't block. I think this to me also has to be a game. Russell Wilson's got to take the game over. Okay, they did nothing offensively in the second half last week against Tennessee. He should have won that game. It was a bad loss. They let it slip away. This has to be a game where for 60 minutes, the offense is just pedal to the metal. Look, we're going to go after you with Metcalf. We're going to go after you with Lockett. We're going to go after you with Gerald Everett. And it's got to be, look, put the ball in Wilson's hands and let him go in the game. They need to win. Doesn't matter how pretty it is. Makes no difference. They got to find a way to win that game.
I made my Survivor pick yesterday, and I went with the Broncos over the Jets.
I like that one.
Sorry, Dom. Our producer is a Jets fan, and he's a pretty sad guy.
And even he knows that's a good pick. That's the thing.
Yeah. These young quarterbacks, Zach Wilson had a really rough outing last outing. These young quarterbacks, have you got a handle on any of them yet?
Well, you know, look. We're talking about a two-game sample size. But to this point, Mac Jones has been fine. I don't think there's been anything special about him. He's pretty much been a game manager. They've asked him to throw the ball about 5 yards a clip and just kind of distribute the ball, let the defense win the game, run the ball pretty well. And so I think Mac Jones has done what they've asked him to do. I don't know that you walk away from that maybe impressed. It's more just been, okay, he's done the job. In the other two situations in Jacksonville and New York. And yeah, I wrote about this for Stack the Box on Monday over Fanside. Listen, I think there's real concern. Now, I will say this. Okay, it is two games. But one of the things I actually even wrote about a month ago with the Jets that concerned me at the time, and it really concerns me now. The Jets brought in a kid who had one great year at BYU. I remember talking around the league during the draft process, and some people really liked him, but there was also this concern that, look, like, how real is it? It was 1 year, weird COVID year. He had a great line in front of him at BYU, really good running game. Like, how is this going to work when he goes to the Jets? And then the Jets went out and hired a first-time offensive coordinator. They hired a first-time defensive-minded head coach. They did not give him a veteran behind him in the quarterback room. There is nobody else in that roster that's ever thrown a pass in the NFL. And so you stick all those things together, and all of a sudden, like that game against New England where he throws four picks, you know, when he's going to the sideline, there's no veteran there to go, hey, look, Jack, here's what's happening. Here's what the coverage are trying to throw at you. Here's the way I would have tried to play this. You know, here's what you should be looking for. I'll look for the tight end on a seam route here. There's none of that. Because the offensive coordinator and the head coach are trying to figure out their job. They have nobody who's got any experience at quarterback. So, look, I think Lawrence will be okay. He's thrown some passes that have been hideous. He's also thrown some nice ones. I do think Urban Meyer there is a catastrophe. But with Wilson, I just hope it doesn't break the kid. Because they really set him up to fail in a lot of ways by not building any infrastructure around him.
Keeping on the theme of is this real or not, the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, I'll say this. They have gone, at least for me, from being a team that I didn't really think about heading into this season to a team that has become really intriguing in just 2 weeks. They had the epic Monday night win over the Ravens, which really captured a lot of imaginations, and then a really eye-opening win going into Pittsburgh. Say what you will about the Steelers' crappy offense. Going into Heinz Field and getting that win is a big one. So now, all of a sudden, the Raiders are 2-0. They get a Miami team this week that's not going to have Tua Tagovailoa under center, and it looks like they got a really good chance to move to 3-0. The question, as it seemingly always is with Derek Carr, is this for real?
I think it's for real in a sense. They're a lot better than you thought, I thought, because I pegged them for like 6 wins. So I do think they're better than that. I also think they're more for real than Denver, who's also 2-0 in that division. But Denver's basically beaten like Vanderbilt and Kentucky. So I don't think it really matters. Beating the Ravens, beating the Steelers, those are two nice wins. And I agree, I think they'll get to 3-0. Although I got to tell you, I actually think in some ways, Jacoby Brissett might be a harder matchup for them than Tua, because Tua has not been good. But in any event, I think for the Raiders, yeah, you feel great about everything. They're going to come back to earth to some extent. I wrote about Derek Carr. He's been otherworldly for 2 weeks. I'm a big believer that, you know, if you're a baseball fan, like a guy hits 300 his whole career, right? And then he comes out, and in April, he hits 400. Well, at some point, like, he's going to have a month where he hits 200. He just is. Like, the body of work, the data says, eventually, he's going to come back to who he is. I think with Carr, there will be some of that. There will be, you know, he'll have a couple games where he doesn't play as well. Maybe they'll lose. But he's a good quarterback. The defense has a new coordinator in Gus Bradley. We've seen the dividends there. You know, Max Crosby looked great. Yannick Ngakoue's played well. I do think, after seeing them for a couple of weeks, that, yeah, they'll win, you know, around 9 games. They'll compete for that last wild card spot. I don't think all of a sudden they're going to go in there and challenge Kansas City in the West. I don't think, you know, we've got to start talking to them about them like, oh, they're a contender. That, I think, is premature. But they're better than I thought, and if they end up getting into the playoffs as a wild card team, I wouldn't be totally shocked.
Matt, this was awesome, man. Thanks a lot for doing this today. We really appreciate it. Enjoy all the action this weekend. It should be really fun, and we'll do this again as the season rolls on.
Thanks a lot. Anytime.
Yeah, thank you. That's Matt Verderam, national NFL reporter for FanSided. Check out his work, including his Stacking the Box articles up at FanSided right now. We got a lot more to get to on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Friday is usually busy. This Friday is particularly busy. We've got Ian McIntyre coming up to talk all things Canucks. Day 2 of training camp is today. We got Brady Henderson, ESPN's NFL Nation. Talk to him about the Seahawks and Vikings game on Sunday. And it's Ask Us Anything Friday. Do you want to do some Ask Us Anythings on the other side? Do we have enough in the Dunbar Lumber text inbox?
Yeah, I think so.
I'll tell you what. So. We've got, what, 2.5 minutes of break here? So listeners, in the next 2.5 minutes, flood the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650 with your Ask Us Anythings. It can be about the Canucks. It can be about training camp. It can be about bag skates. Or you can go completely off the board. I used the air fryer last night for the first time. You can ask me about that. I am now currently enlisting other recipes. So get a hold of us here, 650-650. It's the Dunbar Lumber text line. This is the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
The official financial sponsor of Halford and Brough is ZLC Financial. Whether you're nearing retirement and looking for consistent income, or you're a young entrepreneur with a desire for long-term growth, or just in between, ZLC's advisors will work with you to align your financial future with your specific personal, professional, and financial goals. I got to get Halford down to ZLC. Figure him out a little bit.
Got my finances in order.
Checking account.
Shoebox under the bed.
Yeah.
I'm liquid all the time.
ZLC can help you. To learn more.
I got bands, yo. Bands.
To learn more, visit ZLC.net. And remember, advice is only as good as the person you ask.
Bands means when you roll up the cash.
I know what bands are.
Then you put a rubber band around it.
Mm-hmm. You don't have any cash.
And then you say, I have bands.
Rubber band stacks.
I believe the kids call it fat stacks.
They used to.
Okay.
Remember when Evander Kane made the call on his money phone?
Yeah, on his stack.
Yeah, that was a stack.
That looks good now.
In retrospect.
Wish he had that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should have taken that money phone and put it in a money bank.
Maybe invested it.
Put it in a checking account. Or just under your bed.
By the way, 65 million today's Lotto Max.
You've mentioned this like 3 days in a row. I did not know you were an avid Lotto player.
We went through this when it was at 70, like a few months ago.
How many max millions are there? That's the one.
Seven, I think.
See, that'd be okay. Have I told you my theory on winning $1 million before too? Yeah. It's like you don't have to share it with anyone. It's already gone. It's Vancouver, right?
Exactly.
It's in a house.
Yeah,
literally, like it bought like what, 1/5 of a house.
Or if you're Mike Halpert,
it's a teardown.
You put it in a shoebox.
Yeah,
bands. I just like throwing them around. Here's an Ask Us Anything. It's Ask Us Anything Friday on the Halpert and Brough Show. By the way. You can ask us anything. It doesn't have to be Canucks related. This one is, but it's also not really Canucks related. It's from Kevin in Campbell River. Ask us anything. Why are sports journalists staying in hotels in Abbotsford instead of commuting to and from their homes like most working people in the Lower Mainland? So if you're not up to speed with this one, I guess a lot of the lovable and familiar Canucks reporters are actually staying out in Abbotsford, as opposed to making the trek out and then going back and sleeping in their own beds at night. One of them being Thomas Drantz of The Athletic Vancouver, who called us from the Best Western in Abbotsford yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know why.
Gas prices?
That's why.
But I don't think you're going to save money by staying in a hotel. I've driven some.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. It's probably more fun.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe you can go some time for the family.
Oh, you can go out at night.
There's a definite answer in that people have... You got to understand, and this is very much inside baseball, but we'll go down the road anyway. One of the hidden pleasures of this job, and there are many that we don't really, you know, you just don't talk about because it's just kind of part of the job, but being out on the road and being away from everything and knowing that your responsibilities are detached because you can't do anything about it, it's a very liberating feeling.
Man,
it's fun.
Is Abbotsford a road trip now?
But they're making it into one. God damn it, whether it is or isn't, they're doing it. They are, right? They had a night last night.
Did they have a night last night?
Yeah, they went to the Keg.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
All of them?
Patterson owed Drantz a steak dinner.
Oh, okay.
So he made good on the bet by going out to the Keg.
J-Pad gets after it.
Just goes wild. They shared a Billy Miner pie.
Yeah.
To finish off the meal?
I heard they stayed out until 8:45.
That's a night.
8:45? Oh my God.
When it's been taken away from you, 8:45 in Abbotsford is a night.
Yeah.
You are rolling. You go to the Cactus Club later, do some dancing, as I understand it.
There's dancing at the
Cactus? I think it turns into a nightclub.
No, it doesn't.
I think it does.
Are you serious?
Is there nightclubs in Abbotsford? What was a popular... you're out from the Valley.
I don't know.
You don't know?
Isn't Roosters out that way?
No, Roosters was
Roosters is gone.
Pitt Meadows or Maple Ridge, one of the
two. Oh, it's up there. Okay.
Yeah, but Roosters is also long gone.
Long gone.
We don't have a good old country bar anymore, do we?
No.
There used to be a few.
No.
There was Roosters. There was Boone County.
Oh, Boone County. Yes.
Jason's eyes.
I forgot about that.
That was a man that had a night at Boone County one time and just
I couldn't tell you where it was, but it was I somehow got home from it.
I think it was in Coquitlam right off the Brunette exit.
Oh, wow.
It had a hotel attached.
You practically gave directions to it.
That's right. Stay for the continental breakfast. I think it had a hotel attached to it.
Let's do some Ask Us Anything. It's Ask Us Anything Friday.
We just did one.
Okay. On the Halpert and Brough Show. Jimmy from North Van, Ask Us Anything. How small is the Seahawks window before it shuts? We had another person who texted in. Maybe it was Jimmy who... a similar question.
Jimmy!
If the Seahawks have a losing season, will Russell Wilson be traded to New Orleans or Miami?
Or the Giants. I'll throw the Giants.
Maybe
in there.
The Giants.
I'll throw the Giants.
Or maybe the Jets.
Sure.
And they realized that Zach Wilson was like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
How soon is too soon to pull the plug on the Zach Wilson experiment?
Trade one soaker for another.
Just keep him coming.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
The Seahawks season, why I'm kind of stressing and it's only two games in is because I think the window is could be shut if the Seahawks have a losing season, because I think Russ might want out. If you don't have, and we know, like, if you don't have an elite quarterback in the NFL, it is very, very difficult to consider yourself a championship caliber team. It's not like the Seahawks have this great defense where they could bring in, you know, just a manager. That's not happening. So if you're asking me how small is the window, is the Seahawks window before it shuts, how small is this season, right? Like, it could be this year. You never know.
But the thing with
Seahawks are getting old too, right? I realize they have like DK Metcalf, and I know that Jamal Adams isn't all that old, but they haven't drafted many players in the last little while.
To me, you know what the Seahawks are this year? They're a team that if they get into the playoffs and if things break their way, they could get through the NFC as opposed to Tampa Bay. Like I say, Tampa Bay can beat anybody in that conference. Yep. It doesn't matter the day. It doesn't matter the location. I think the Rams are in that conversation too. The Seahawks would be a team to me. Like if they get in as a wild card, they need some upsets to happen. They need the bracket to break their way so that they get a road. As opposed to...
Maybe.
That's just how I see it.
But
that's
also just how I see it. Russell Wilson still has enough cachet in that if you're playing the... Even if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and you're a fan of that team, you're like, I think the Bucs should beat the Seahawks, but you never know with Russell Wilson.
Lots more to get to on the program. We will continue this conversation in the 7 o'clock hour. Brady Henderson, ESPN's NFL Nation, Seahawks insider, is going to join us to break down a game where the Seahawks have to go to Minnesota, take on an 0-2 team that is desperate for a win, and they're at home. That's why this line is so tight. We will talk about it with Brady Henderson coming up next on the Helfand and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.